showing you how to reignite the embers of a distant and lonely relationship into a blazing, emotionally intimate connection. I'm your host, Amber Dawson. I'm a psychologist, author, and speaker. A few of my favorite things are my husband, grapes, and my adorable little dog, Riggs. Now let's learn how to create a soul-crushing love that lasts. Get subscribed in your podcast app so that simply by listening, you can rekindle your relationship by pouring a little gas on your relationship ember. This podcast is for informational purposes and should not be misconstrued for specific relationship advice. For advice for your specific relationship, seek a local couples therapist for relationship counseling or couples therapy. Welcome back. Today we're talking about this question: is healthy dependency in a relationship even possible? Well, today we are going to debunk dependency. In this episode, we're going to talk about relationship dependency, if dependency helps or hinders, and explore some common myths about relationship dependency. Many people think relationship dependency is a bad thing, but is it really? I was watching tons of New Year's resolutions pop up on Instagram, and I saw a lot of them say things like self-love, more independence, which is great, and I totally want people to love themselves and feel more independent. There's also a common myth, and the myth goes something like this. If you love yourself more, you won't need your partner so much and you won't be needy. Unfortunately, that's only part true. And I suppose the true part is that if you love yourself, that will be helpful in your relationship. But unfortunately, self-love doesn't usually translate into how much you do or don't need your partner. Once we choose to bond to another person, we need them. Self-love or not. So the word dependency has gotten a bad rap. I want to say that dependency isn't actually bad. Let's think about how dependency actually works for our relationships and not how it doesn't. Dependency can actually be helpful. What if the closer you were, the more secure you felt, it actually allowed you to be more independent, self-confident, more free. Maybe that sounds counterintuitive because all too popular advice says, if you want to be independent, self-confident, and free, be less dependent. Interesting. It actually works the opposite. The closer you are, the more secure you feel, the more free you feel, has to come from good dependence. So let's think about relationship signs like this. What we know is when people bond together, whatever happens it is, when you attach to them, your nervous systems begin to regulate together. Hormones are produced together. Your lives basically become intertwined. It's almost impossible to become totally independent with your partner because, well, you can't really. In fact, dependency can be really good for us when we learn to use it to our advantage. Think about it like this. And if you're in a relationship and your partner makes you feel safe and secure and loved, and because you have that place that feels like home, a place that's like a cozy bed with warm blankets you can go back to, no matter what happens in the world, you know that at the end of the day, you can go back to that cozy spot. It allows you to do more, take risks, leap farther, because somehow it's as if you know there's a safety net securely in place to catch you if you fall. The other part of having a safe and secure loving relationship is after you jump really far away and you do new things or even, gosh forbid, make a mistake or have hurt feelings, it's wonderful to have someone to come back to. It's like that warm, cozy bed to crawl into, to have someone to listen to your inner world, hear about your day, delight in your experiences, and to be there for your sorrows. This is the circle of having a secure base. The more that someone feels confident, that they can springboard and jump off into the world and know that when they go away, they can come back. That's a safe base. That's exactly why dependency is a good thing. Isn't it interesting? The idea that I'm presenting basically says that the more safe and secure, the more your needs are met, the more independent you will actually be. Many couples come to couples therapy and tell me they wish their partner would just be more independent, that they would just get their needs met. And to do so, they try tactics that basically starve their partner of emotional connection. They're absolutely perplexed by that telling their partners to be more independent, shrug off their complaints, just laugh it off. The more they tell their partners these things, the more needy their partner becomes, the more their partner complains. Here is a secret. Because their needs aren't met, they become more needy. Simply by hearing the needs and meeting their needs, your partner could actually become more independent. Now, this is a silly little example, but I want to share with you how it works. My partner and I recently went ice skating. He's a great skater and played competitive hockey as a child and still plays recreational hockey. I have skated in my life, even took figure skating as a young girl. I have a memory of wearing stretchy tie-dye pants on an ice rink. I probably haven't skated in 15 years or so. With the pandemic and there being absolutely nothing else to do other than book a specifically allocated ice time, we did just that. My partner laced up his skates in a flash and immediately started spinning around on the ice, just absolutely gliding. I hesitantly tied up my skates that were brand new and super stiff, stood up a little wobbly. Then I took 3 strides and was hardly a few feet ahead of me. Whereas his 3 strides seemed to have him halfway down the ice, absolutely gliding. I'm good at most things, so it's pretty hard for me when someone is way better than I am. Way better. I began to feel insecure almost immediately and overwhelmed because he was so much better. There was a little part of me that just wanted to quit because I didn't want him to see that I wasn't good. I do have a need to look good in front of my partner and to belong to him, even if I already know that I do. So because he was so great and, you know, for every 3 strides he took, that was me taking 10, he inevitably got out in front of me. I began to get upset. I made some frustrated, irritated, unhelpful comment about how far away he was getting, and thankfully he got the hint. He came back and took my hand and started skating backwards as he held me up, and we began to move along the ice faster and faster. Within a couple laps around the ice, I had my feet out under me. We were laughing and skating, and he would push me and let me do it myself. Occasionally, he would still get farther ahead of me. But I stopped caring because he took time to come back, hold my hands, and skate with me. I knew that eventually he would come back. Ironically, I ended up feeling more independent and more comfortable because he came back and gave me those moments of connection, skating, holding my hands, helping me get my footing. He helped me get that secure base on my feet on the ice, providing me consistency, predictability, and support, showing me that with his help, I can do more. Then because he met my needs, I was like, yeah, go skate around the ice, go do your lap by yourself. And so I watched him fly around the ice, skating as fast as he could by himself while I just, you know, potted along from the distance. Because he met my needs, then there was more freedom and independence. This is the, you know, irony of exactly how dependency works. The more needs are met, the more freedom there is. So yep, this is the dependency paradox. The more our needs are met by our partner and not seen as needy, the less needy we will be. So here's a catch that I often see in couples therapy. Many times a partner will have needs they want their partner to meet. But rather than approach their partner gently, they do what I did on the skating and they say something that's not helpful. So it might be a clipped remark, blame, or a harsh tone. They create an unsafe environment because their needs aren't met. When they do this, it puts their partner's defenses up. And I'm not sure why I didn't say something nicer that day, but I could have. Imagine for a second a dog with its teeth bared and growling at you. You see those fangs and a little bit of saliva as it growls. And although even maybe you've met the dog before and it was nice, with its teeth bared and growling at you, do you really want to pet that dog? Most people don't, because in that moment they know the dog might bite you. However, if that dog had its teeth covered by its lips and its ears were pulled back and its tail was wagging so hard its little bottom was wagging around, would you be comfortable petting the dog? Probably. So here's the catch. It's totally acceptable and reasonable to have needs. What is helpful is how we can help our partner meet our needs by making it approachable and easy for them to do so. So if we think of my ice skating example, I could have waited till next time he was with me and said something nice like, "Babe, thanks so much for skating with me. I'm feeling shaky under my feet and I'd really love if you could slow down and skate with me." That probably would have been a lot nicer and set him up very clearly for what it I needed. Now, when we're upset, it's really hard to do that, super hard, but you know, we can do our best. So that's why it's so important to calm down, especially if you know there's something you're upset about. So because it is incredibly hard to calm down, I created a guide, 50 ways to calm anger and anxiety to help you get a custom relaxation plan for when you're upset. This guide can help you collect your thoughts and regulate your emotions so that you can approach your partner in a way that increases your chances they can hear you and respond to your needs effectively. Because if we go to our partners with our teeth out showing and we're growling, they're likely to do what we would do if that was a puppy dog. We would run away. If it's our goal to actually get our needs met, we got to do our role in making it safe for our partner to stay engaged. You can be in control of your emotions even when you're upset. And improved emotional regulation will likely even improve your relationship. Because difficult conversations, if they're safe, that usually helps keep them engaged. So if you want this free guide, 50 ways to calm anger and anxiety, just text 50-5021-313-710-9683. Again, that's 1-313-710-9683. To sum this all up, dependency is not a bad thing. And when it's used to your advantage, you and your partner can actually be more independent, more awesome, be more secure, have more free lives, because you know that there's someone awesome waiting for you at home that's gonna have your back. That's the paradox. The more we feel supported, the more we can do. So the more our needs are met, the less needy we will be. I'm going to say that again because I messed it up a little. And I just really want you to get this. The more our needs are met, the less needy we will be. Interesting. Okay, so again, if you want that guide, 50 ways to calm anger and anxiety, it's basically 50 things. And then you just put in a bunch of checks for the things that fit. And then there's a place for you to create a list about what you can do at home or out of home so that you have something to fall back on when you're feeling overwhelmed. To get that, just text 1-313-710-9683. Again, 1-313-710-9683. So you can help your partner be present in conversations and get your needs met. Thank you for tuning in to Relationship Psych, the podcast, put on by Ember Relationship Psychology. If you're looking for more free relationship help or advice that comes straight from the couple's therapy room, check out the free resources and the blog at www.emberrelationshippsychology.com.